have them, but I'm just, you know, used to it. And once in a while, just, you'll hit little, I make little notes. I've got notes all over this stuff. And I note and re-note, and then that's like, what did I write? Do you ever do that? You can't even read your own writing? Okay, yeah, there's times up here, and that's why you'll see me pause. It's like, what did I write down? Anyway, it's just that way. I want you to know, also, that yesterday, Miss Ida was baptized. That's, raise your hand. They may not all know, there's Ida right there. And we'll get her certificate of baptism. But yes, she was baptized yesterday. Anybody else want to be baptized, need to be? That's a completion. Is anyone else, you know, have you not been baptized? If you're not sure about your baptism, let's get it done. To me, why live in doubt? If there's any little hesitation, if it bothers you, just do it. Anyone? Okay. Think about it. And if you ever, we'll talk about your salvation and we'll get you baptized. That's the big thing is, you know, baptism. You want to do it again? I know it. Every time you see it, you want to do it again. I know it's such a wonderful, you know, you ask Jesus in your heart. You've died to yourself. You've died and you're raised to life, newness of life in Christ. That's what baptism represents. So if you're baptized as a child or whatever, let's do it right. You know, you said, well, I've asked Jesus in my heart after that. Let's do it. Don't hesitate. We've got plenty of ice water. We make it an adventure. But really, seriously, you know, I want to just stress that for a moment. And I'm so proud for you getting baptized. It's an example to us all. It's wonderful. Thank you for doing it. And by the way, a question can come up. You know, where do you stand on baptism as far as do you, the pastor, have to do all the baptizing? No. I can designate whoever. As long as it's a Christian doing the baptizing, as long as this church is, you know, knows about it and is authorizing it. That's my big thing. You know, but no. So, no, I don't have any problem. And you know, if it's like, you know, in this case, Julie baptized and somebody else wants to, and you're Christian, and you say, and no, and I represent this church, but more than that, I represent the Lord, and this person's had to ask Jesus in their heart, can I baptize them? You're probably going to get to do it. I'm not going to have an issue unless there's something about you that's made me go. But, you know, I don't know of anybody here that make me, whatever that is, do that. Let's look at Philippians. In the New International Version, I titled this message, Press On. Just press on. Just keep moving. Don't stop. Press on. And I want to read this to you and with you. It's a little long. I'm sorry. I condensed it and then did not feel like it was doing justice to this passage. And there's sometimes I just feel like I can't condense this one. So I want to read this whole, well, not all of it, but a good piece of it so you get the punchline out of it. And it's in Philippians 3, and he starts this off in verse 7. You'll have it up here. He said, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. I'm not there yet, are you? I still have some things I'm a little too attached to. I'm still working on it. He said, but whatever things were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. There's so much I could comment. There's so many insights here. He said, I don't care anything about whatever was in my old life. It's gone. I've lost it all for Christ. Whatever was gained to me, I now consider lost. We read that, and we nod our head, but I want to ask you something. There's some achievements you've had in your life that you would consider loss. Now, what about your education? What about, you know, you get your degrees and you do all this, you get a title or you've had a title and a great job, and you know, you're going to consider that all loss? You don't ever bring that up to anybody? You don't talk about it once in a while? It's like he did. In his day, we forget that before he was Paul, he was Saul. And he was one of the most highly educated men of his day. He was a PhD of his era in religion and applied religion, you know, and enforcing it. He really was. And Paul, if you go back and you look at the writings of the day and the history of his life, you look at Josephus and others, Paul was destined as Saul to be the head Pharisee. He was going to be the great high priest over all. Now listen, you look at that, and that is easy to sit here and say, big deal. That was a big deal. He would have been the man that everybody in Jewish society to, and he would have been a man that the Romans would have kind of approached with some carefulness. What an office. And you look how many people today would like to be in that high office of this country or in another country. Wow, to just say that, just throw that away, count that but loss. And he's saying that's where Christ wants us headed. It doesn't mean that there's no authenticity to what you've done, but it's not the important guiding thing in your life at all anymore. So enough on that. That's why he says, whatever was gain, I consider loss. I put it away. I don't bring it up anymore. He's saying, Jesus is what I'm concerned about. He said, I consider everything a loss, knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them, and he goes on to say, I consider all them garbage. The word is stronger than that, but there's no need to bring that out. But it's like, I consider them total refuse, and that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. And that's where the Pharisee background, he said, not having a righteousness of my own, they were self-righteous, and he's hitting it right here. And I don't have a righteousness of my own. And he could have said any more, because at one time he did. How about that? Let me ask you this question, just a question. Do you ever feel a bit self-righteous? That maybe you know more than others. Maybe you're a little sharper in the Bible. Maybe you've been around the block a few times. And you know, let's be honest with ourselves. We can all have those moments when we kind of want to do this thing, you know? Yeah. And we look down on others. And he said, I consider all that, and I don't have a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith, he said, that's the righteousness that we all know that comes, you know, from God through faith. I want to know Christ. I have trouble with this one. I've struggled with this statement in this passage for a long time. And you may not, and God bless you for it. I accept it, but I struggle with it, and here's why. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection. I'm good on that. In participation in his sufferings, I'm not good on that. Okay? I mean, are you? Some of you may be, but I mean, is this what you pray for? Let me suffer like you did? No. How many of you really have a struggle with this right here? Would you volunteer to suffer like Christ? Have I ever suffered? Yeah. Have you suffered? Yeah. But I don't want to volunteer for it. But he said, I want to know the power of his resurrection and then participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attain the resurrection from the dead. And it's like, good on you. I'm still working on that. Now, I admit it to anybody. It's like, I sure want to understand the resurrection. I want to know. I want the power of the resurrection, but do I want to participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death? And I want to tell you something here. He got his wish. He wanted it. He got it. He wanted the right thing. I'm still working on it. And I want everybody to know, but this is why it's so important we read the next part. Because I can say, I'm with you in this, buddy. Not that I've already attained all this. So what's he admitting? He said, I haven't accomplished all this. I want it, but I'm not quite there yet. And it's like, whew, you let me off the hook. Thank you. Because he says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. Oh, aren't you glad he said that? He said, I want to do this, but I haven't got there yet. And then, oh, thank you, Paul. I wish I could hug you right now. I'm not there either. And I'm wanting it. I want my attitude that way. I want my whole faith experience that way. But I'm not there yet. And he said, I haven't got it. I haven't arrived at my goal. But he said, this is what I do. And thus the title for this message. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He said, brothers and sisters, aren't you like this? Usually it's just brothers, but here he was so considerate, got you sisters too. So the sisters are in this one. Brothers, I used to be in a denomination where the older part of the denomination and the more they used to call you, you know, it was Brother Tony and it'd be Sister so-and-so. Everybody was Sister so-and-so. It's like, and I was thinking, I'm not your brother. There's some people call me Brother Tony, and I'm thinking, I don't even want to be in your family. I don't want to be near your family. You know, but anyway. And then everybody was sister, brother and sister. And it's like, okay. Anyway, this is to the brothers and the sisters this morning. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Oh, thank you, Paul. I don't either. But one thing I do, he said, I've got this one I got. I forget, forgetting what is behind. This is one of my more favorite verses, by the way. I don't usually mention, I don't bring it out a lot, but for me personally, in my studies, in my life, I need this one. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So what does he admit here? He lays out all these things. He counts his background as rubbish. Garbage, refuse. And then he wants to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, and participate in his sufferings. And he said, I want that, but I'm not there yet. And he said, I haven't achieved all that. I haven't been able to accomplish all this. It's like, you will, Paul. He did. But still, he hadn't at this point, and I haven't either. And for all of us, if we're really honest, there's some things in our lives we want real bad. We want to be more godly, more Christ-like, and yet we have to admit, I haven't obtained it yet. So what do I like about this? What applies to me, this last part? One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I need that. I need that with God. I need to work on forgetting what's behind. That word, you know, and forgetting in the Greek means that lesson of impact. It doesn't have the impact. We don't totally forget, but it doesn't control me. It's less impact, less significance. And he said, so my past doesn't have what it used to have. And he said, so I strain towards what's ahead. Said, and the only way, listen, do you get this? You think modern psychology invented something? No. It's right here. How do you leave unpleasant things in your past? You press on toward the goal for the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You'll never leave behind these things that's not pleasant to you until you have more pleasant things to go towards. If you have no goal to go forward, you'll go backwards. Your thoughts will take you there. And these, you read these self-help books and all these guys, and I hear these, you know, counselors. It's like, did you just read the scripture? He had this figured out over 2,000 years ago. If you want to leave your past, press on. If you want to get over troubles and hurts and pains, you got to press on. You got to find something else that's better, that replaces it, that gives you joy, that it is purposeful and fulfilling. And what is that? What's the most purposeful, fulfilling thing that any of us can ever do? You press toward the goal to win the prize to which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I'm pushing towards being Christ-like. I'm moving on with Christ's calling in my life. I'm going to focus on Jesus Christ and not on the people I killed. That's one of the things he's had to leave behind. Now, we've hit on this, but it's important. He killed people. He threw women and children, men, women, children, in prison. So many of them died there. all because they were Christians. They had done nothing against the Jewish people. They did nothing against the Roman government. It was simply because they were believers in Christ. And he was one of those, you know, zealots, religious zealots. You know, Dr. Saul, going to be the head man, and I'm going to show you how committed to the law that I am. I'll throw these people in prison, let them rot down there in dungeons, let them die. Let them eat with the rats. He had to forget that. He had to let the impact of what he'd done be less in his life. That's a big thing. And then what else did he have to leave behind? He had to leave behind that he was going to be the top, and now he's at the bottom as far as the hierarchy in society works. The Jews are looking at him, the Pharisees are looking at him now as, you low-life traitor. You betrayed us. We hate you. We want you dead. This was a guy that was going to have it all. And that's why he said, I count it as nothing. Nothing. It was all loss. I give it to Christ. And I'm hated for it by my own society. Wow. So that's why this is so important. And his education and all that he stood for, and he said, I'm a new man. I'm a new creature in Christ. He writes all this stuff, but it's not in here, but it's, you know, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so he said, I'm pressing on for the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So let's talk about this. And let's, first of all, how are you going to accomplish this? How are you going to be, how are you going to start living and pressing on, leaving it all behind? How are you going to be what God wants you to be? First point, don't go back. Don't keep revisiting your past. Just don't do it. Just stop it. What else can you say sometimes? Just stop it. There's no going back. Listen to me. There's no going back, so deal with it. This is a practical, straightforward message from this. Taking this and just dissect it. This is a message of how do we do it. First of all, you refuse to go back. I'm not going to go back there. I'm not going to go revisit. Why don't you quit driving back in your mind to the old home place? It'll never be the same. If the house is still standing you grew up in, somebody's repainted it. Somebody's built onto it. It's just not the same. Never will be. And if you go inside, everything's changed anyway. There's just no going back, so deal with it. So whatever happened, happened in your life. You know, past sins, past hurts. Past whatever. You don't have to be revisiting. You don't have to relive it. I don't know how else to say it. You know, it's somewhere you got to say, look, the reason I'm revisiting this is because I don't have enough to go forward to. I've got to let Jesus Christ be bigger in my life. I've got to strive for that goal of knowing him. Get on with it. There's nobody in here without a record. Well, I say that, maybe not. There may be somebody hadn't sinned. I don't know who they are, but if you haven't, good for you. I have. And I've thought of sinning more than I've sinned. Have you? How about you? You know? I mean, how many people have you killed in your thoughts? Think about it. Seriously. You ever get so mad you just wish they'd just drop dead? Seriously? Yeah, you watch the news? I mean, can you watch the news without thinking about some things, Diva? You really do. You say, you know, and I blurted out the other day, and I knew it was wrong. I did. I saw a particular figure on TV, and I said, you know, I said this out loud. There's nobody there, but I said it anyway. But God was there, right? And I felt bad about it. I said, you know, if that person dropped dead today, I wouldn't miss it tomorrow. Then I thought, I'm sorry. Because then instantly it's like, Tony boy? Yeah? But ever thought that? Yeah. Ears are worse than that. Oh, goodness. You want to help them drop dead. Okay, well, I get it. But really, seriously? Have you ever had someone that just really pulled that cut you off thing and out there? And they're flying about 90 miles an hour, and you're hoping when you top the next hill that you see them rolled over in the ditch? Seriously? Be honest with your thoughts. Yeah, we do, though. Oh, look, there's a lot of heads nodding on this one. It's not, wouldn't you like to see them rolled up? I mean, you don't want them dead, but just close to it. Anyone to drive up there and say, told you, got what you asked for. Don't you want to do that? And that's our fleshly human nature. And so that's the stuff he's saying, I want to move you away from. I mean, didn't he say, Jesus, he said, if you lust after somebody in your heart, you're guilty of it just as if you'd done it. Isn't that the same with all these thoughts? So how many people in here are not murderers? Oh, well, I want to talk to y'all later. Yeah, these are good folks back here. They never killed anybody. We murder people in our mind, don't we? You ever kill anybody with your words? Have you ever laid into somebody with your words and you knew that you slayed them? You really, they're bleeding to death right there. See? Okay. And you've had it done to you, haven't you? And we dish it back. And y'all are honest. This is a bunch of honest crowd over here on the other side today. They know their sinners already sitting over there, so they don't mind. Yeah, it is me. But no, I appreciate that, really. But haven't we really, seriously? And there comes a time when we've got to get refocused and say, okay, wait a minute. I know I have this. And we laugh about this, and I share it, and we talk about it, because it's to open us up and help us to deal with ourselves and not be in denial. We've all broken just about every law there is, right? Of the Ten Commandments, is there any we haven't really? Have you ever coveted, really, seriously? Is there things you covet? You know, some heads are nodding, you know, it's like, you don't ever drive by somebody's house and wish that was yours? You don't look at some of these people in their Gulfstream, you know, and you read about them and you say, wouldn't it be nice? I've even told God, could you give me a shot at it to see how I handle it? Let me see if I can just do okay with it. You know, I drive by a ranch. There's some ranches I can drive by, and it's so clean. It looks so nice, and I see a nice ranch house off out there, and it's like, you know, and I realize, I'm thinking the thought, God, I wish I had that. I wish I had the money to buy a place like that. You got to mow the lawn. Oh, yeah, you got to work the pasture and everything else. But then I think about, but if you get enough cattle, I can keep that grass mowed pretty, and put a few goats in the yard, and it's done. You know, the whole point is that if we're real honest with ourselves, we're in no better shape than he was in, and we have a lot to let go of. And I've hit on this stuff, but I keep hearing it. And so when I keep hearing stuff, Lord kind of leads me to okay, Tony, hit this again, because people need to be able to, they need my help in dealing with some things. Some of you have been through some bad relationships, right? And God wants you to be able to let it go. Don't keep living with that person from your past. Let him go. And you can't let him go unless you let him do it. And you got to let it go. They're killing you. They're beating you up. It's just not worth it. Past relationships, they don't need to be regretted. It is what it is. Let it go. Okay, so you made a mistake. They made a mistake. You made a dozen mistakes. It's here and now. That's what he's saying. Leave it. Let it go. Leave it behind. Jesus Christ loves you. Listen, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. You continue in my word, you'll know the truth. And the truth will what? Set you free. That's what he's here to do. And so a note occurred here. And I wrote it down because this occurred in my mind. That's how God speaks to you. You know, hey, this question came into my mind. But what if the past keeps coming back? You're trying to leave it behind, and it just runs right out in front of you and says, here I am. Remember me? Is there someone or something in your life you just can't get rid of? They just keep showing up. And then, you know, and let me give you this. You say, yeah, what if I'm wanting to leave my past and there's just my past won't leave me? Have you ever had that problem? Yeah? Okay. Oh, okay. A lot. Anybody else? Somebody in your past, something in your past, and it just keeps showing up. That's when you start committing murder in your heart and all that. Let me tell you one of the things to do. And I have to do it myself. It's one of the answers God's given me to this whole thing. He says, forgetting what lies behind. Do you think Paul wasn't ever pointed out to him that he was a traitor and what he could have been? You think he wasn't constantly reminded? He didn't get to leave Israel. So there he is. When your past keeps coming and stepping in your face, you have the right to refuse to discuss what created that past. You ever thought about it? You do not have to entertain the past that comes your way. There are people from your past who want to draw you in to the drama that was there, and you can refuse to be drawn. I have to do it myself. You refuse to discuss it. You refuse to what brought you here. You can say to somebody, you know, I know you were there, or you and I were, you know, you're my ex or whatever, but we're not going over one more time what brought us to this place. I'm moving on. You bring it up, I walk. This is serious stuff. This is a practical application. You leave your past by refusing to let somebody else keep bringing it up or putting it in your face. I have things put in my face every once in a while, and I used to bother the heck out of me until God began to work with me on this particular thing. It's like, just deal with, here, Tony, who are you today? What are you doing today? Are you striving for me? Are you working on messages? Are you attempting to reach the prize of high calling? Yeah, I am. I'm up here for that reason. I'm called of God to do this. That's what I'm striving to do. Okay, then. You're pressing up. Then don't go back. If somebody wants to say to you, I remember when you were in college, I remember you in high school, I remember when this happened, so what? God has cast my sins into the depths of the sea and removed them as far as the east is from the west. It's done. Right? For every one of you, it's done. It's done. It's done. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. If you walk in the light, is Jesus in the light? The blood of Jesus what? You have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. You don't have to buy into it anymore. Don't let them suck you in. Yeah, I'm here for the here and now. That's all that matters. That's what this man was saying, or Jesus Christ was saying through Paul. And, you know, he's saying, brother and sister, I haven't conquered all this. So he said, I have my moments, so will you. But he said, man, one thing I do, I forget it. I leave it. It's softened on, the blow is softened now. They can't twist me around the axle anymore. And I'm pressing on to what God called me to do. Today is what you have, so live it good. Live it good. Find something to make you happy. I'm going to say this, okay? Listen. I work hard on these diets and all this stuff, and I drank my shake this morning. I drank that slimy green stuff, okay? And all the junk I put in it. And the oils and this and that. And I put collagen in mine, powdered collagen, and I've got all this stuff, you know. But on Sunday, once in a while, I allow myself to go eat the greasiest, sloppiest, most dripping thing I can find. And if it gets on your shirt, it tastes better. If it goes all the way and gets and stains your pocket, that's even better. You can carry some home and taste it later. Okay, anyway. I allow myself to enjoy something that I restrict myself on. Because listen, if you keep restricting it, and I know some, even doctors will tell you, after you've been on a hard diet after a while, go ahead and eat a hamburger. Because you stress yourself out. Everybody with me? And you know, I'm real strict on it. I take these vitamins. I take all this stuff. But once in a while, I just got to get down and dirty. Okay? Now, there's once. This that's not. You're not sinning. I'm not telling you to go sin or anything. But there's something in your life. You know, there's once in a while you got to just lighten up without sinning. Everybody with me here? And just quit thinking about all that coulda, woulda, shoulda been in your life. It's gone. It's done. Whatever it is, whatever you're going to do is going to happen from this day, this moment right here forward. So relax a little bit. I had to go up and take care of my cousin. Everybody knows that. You know what I did when I came in? I scrambled Maybe I shouldn't tell you this. You're going to like this. I scrambled 6 eggs in butter, 6, and sat down and buttered a piece of toast, and I had butter dripping everywhere, and I needed the stress relief. And that just calmed me down. 6 eggs and a buttered toast. And you're saying, Tony, my Lord, well, I don't know what to tell you except it just made me feel good. Yes, sir. Calories don't count on Sunday. Thank you very much. That's going in my notes. Okay. Thank you very much. See, calories don't count on Sunday. Yeah. I had a half a carton of those eggs. And it's like, oh my goodness. Yeah, calories don't. Thank you very much. See, there you go. Today's what you have. What was, was. What is, is. Everybody with me on this? Why don't you start moving forward? Don't let anybody. Don't let your kids suck you into their drama. Oh, Lord. Okay. I had some response on that one. Okay. Don't. Don't play. Just stop it. It's amazing that somebody, you know, people like to suck us into their deal, right? Our own family. That's it. Secondly, refuse discouragement. Don't give in to discouragement. Galatians 6:9, it's not up here, but I'll throw it out here to you. It says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due time, you know, in due time, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Galatians 6:9. So don't grow weary. Don't quit. Everything in life will try to get you to quit. You ever notice that? If you're trying to do something for the Lord, you're trying to preach, teach, whatever, everything in life try to get you to quit. Let me tell you something. This morning, I left early. I had a couple to see, and you know, before church, and we visited. So everything's going great. I go right up towards Junction. 377, get on 83. There's Junction, Interstate 10. I see all these lights flashing. The first thing you think is, oh, dear God, not on Sunday. You know what it was? It was one of those trucks hauling one of those blades for those, you know, wind turbines. It's a big blade, wind turbine. Well, why would you do this? Why? And that's what I'm saying. I even put my hands up there. I'm stopped in the middle of the road. The whole, both lanes are blocked. He had pulled in to the truck stop on the right, somehow maneuvered that. I mean, that's a long dude. And he got through there, and he got himself in a jam. He pulled across the highway, and the front of his truck was in the other truck stop, but the end of the blade was over at the other truck stop. What's my mind going? My mind's saying, which one do you want? Chevron? Or this one? Are you trying to get to McDonald's? And so the front's over here, the back end's at Chevron, and none of us are moving. So here there's lights flashing. They got the exit and the entrance around. Everything's blocked to I-10. I've got to get on I-10. I have to get down here. And I'm watching it. And so I see the truck. And there's people out there, you know, doing all this and that with the truck driver. And I'm thinking, how about some dynamite? Okay, so, you know, and you know, you ever notice when you really want to go, that truck is barely turning. And then there's this little movement starts. And here's the Shell station. And I thought, is he trying to get into the Shell station has a McDonald's. They get all the business. Anyway, so he's pulling over here. And he makes this loop through the edge of their parking lot. But we still can't go. And he turns all the way. And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. He finally gets the truck moving. And so what he's doing now is making a U-turn. So he comes now. The front end of the blade is back over towards the Chevron. And the rear end of the blade is back towards Shell. Okay, and the whole story ends with it. They finally got him onto the entrance ramp to get on 10 West. And so we're all, I mean, huge line of vehicles. And here I am. I'm in the lead on this one. And it's like, I've got to get to church. You know, you ever do that? I have a mission for God. The rest of you can go to wherever you go. Anyway, and so we're waiting for the thing to get out of the way. And it gets out of the way, and I step on it, and the dead gum traffic light turns red. I finally got on 10, and I thought, that devil is doing everything he can to stop me from being here. I'm tired. He knew I'd get irritable at this. He wants me to lose it. He wants me to start slamming, you know, hitting the steering wheel, whatever dumb things we do. And it's like, I got to let this go. I've got work to do. I've got people to see. I can't do this. And you refuse it. I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm late now. I can't help it. I got to go. And so don't quit. Everything in life will try to make you quit. Jesus said, he who endures to end will be saved. Somebody has a critique. They'll have a comment. Somebody will always be there to give you a critique. They'll comment. They'll have an opinion that the enemy will use to discourage you and try to make you quit. Everybody agree with that? You can give it your best shot in life, and there'll be somebody there to tell you that little piece that you didn't get. That's life. And you may just go on. You've got to dig in. Keep going. Keep your self-respect. Keep your faith in Jesus Christ. Keep your focus. Doggone it, you just can't stop. Your life in Christ and his will for you is for now, and don't you let go of it. Money will try to get you down. Things will try to get you down. People try to suck you into their drama. Don't let it. And if you find yourself falling for it, just remember, you can go back and say, my good dear friend Paul, that God used to write this through, used his fingers, his mind to write this down, said, I haven't obtained all this either. He had his moments. I'm having mine. But he said, one thing I do, I'm going to forget this mess. And God said, and so I went on down the road, and the Lord said, just let that go and look forward to what you got to do. And it worked. Some things aren't easy to turn loose of. They bite into you. They're like a bulldog. They won't let go. But friends, you got to let it go. And then let me wrap this up, because it's time. You know, time for us to do this. Let God clean up the garbage. Okay? You know, let's just let God clean it and take it and whatever it is. And so, you know, what does that mean? Kind of got ahead of myself, but let God clean it, take it. Let God clean up the garbage that's out there in your life, and let him cut off that baggage you're carrying. There you go. It's time to get your house cleaned up. You quit stepping over garbage. Garbage is those bad things people said to you. The bad stuff that's happened in your life. You did it, they did it, whoever did it. And you're just stepping all over it, and it smells, you know? Aren't you tired of smelling the garbage of your past? Then give it to God and let him cleanse it with his blood, and it'll be a whole fresh, new, clean smell in your life. Why sit there with trash from the people, you know, that people have dumped on you? They said these words to me. They fired me. They hurt me. Oh, God, I know. Haven't we all been there? My husband, my wife, they did this to me. They went out with someone. They did. You know, my kid does whatever. We can name all these things. And in the end, it's just piling garbage. And just there's a place to say, you know what? All this trash in my life stinks. I'm tired of it. It's time. It's smelly. I want it out. I'm not going to have this anymore. Don't come in my house and dump your junk anymore. I'm going to say this, and there's people listening. I want to say this as lovingly as I can. Stop letting your children or your family dump on you. It's time to say, get up, grow up, and get on with it. And you're doing it without me. Okay. I probably should have got on the soapbox. I didn't. You with me? It's time to quit spending everything you have, losing your energy, your self-esteem, all of that on people who just keep, I mean, really? They're just like those little sucker fish, you know? They just attach, get everything they can. Cut it off. Okay, I probably stepped in it real bad, but you know, there's just a time. You get rid of the garbage. Here's some garbage I'm going to tell you to get rid of right now. God wants you out of your life. False guilt. Quit blaming yourself for stuff that's past. Go on. Let him forgive you. Condemnation. That's garbage. That you're a loser. A failure. not worth God's time, not lovable. You think you're not lovable? Let me tell you a little secret. God created porcupines and he even loves them. He even created skunks. You with me? You say, my wife stinks like it smells like a skunk. I'm as prickly as a porcupine. God loves them all. Little porcupine, God loves you. Little skunky, God loves you. Your attitude may stink, but God still loves you. Why don't you let him love you? Get rid of this. Go. Come on. You can be a cute little skunk and not a stinking one. Because if you keep falling for this, it's going to lead to lower self-esteem, insecurity. Any of you insecure? You know, personally insecure. You know, there's a lot of people insecure. Won't admit it. But that's why you have all these jealousy problems and you flare up into anger. So you're insecure. You know, get hold of your faith in Christ. Reach out and let him. We're done here. This is the wrap-up statement. Keep your faith in Christ. Just keep it. You know, keep your faith in Christ. Bottom line, you've got to tell yourself, I'm not going to throw away my faith in Christ. I'm going to trust him and his word. Jesus says he'll come through. He's coming through. You keep your faith in Christ and you keep your faith in everything he says in his word. Jesus loves you enough to die for you. Closing statements. I want you to get this and just hear this as you go. Jesus, and I hope, try to say this to yourself, so I'll say it personal. Like, Jesus loves me enough to die for me. Matter of fact, would you say it with me? Say it right now. Jesus loves me. Come on, everybody. Jesus loves me enough to die for me. What else you want, little porcupine? Jesus rose to life for you. So you can rise, you're going to rise to life. Jesus intercedes for you when you mess up, when you sin. What does that mean? He speaks to the Father, they're mine, they're covered in the blood, they believe in me, I've taken their place, I take their punishment, I take their sins upon me, they're free. Not guilty. Go. Have a good day. He knows where you are. Don't you forget this. Jesus knows where you are. He knows what you need. And he already has the answer and is providing for it before you even ask him. And Jesus Christ has a wonderful plan just for you. So, press on. Pray on. Live on. Press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Father, thank you. I ask you for one thing this morning, that if anybody in this room is not sure about their relationship with Christ, that they'll come up here and we'll pray for them right now. Just come on, get up. Come up here and I'll pray with you. Church will support you. Or you just have some issue. Anything at all. We'll just open the floor and say, come on. Deal with it. Let's get it. Let's get it dealt with. Go out of here free. Free woman, free man. Free child. Let's get it. Let's get it. Anybody with anything? If not, then if you're sitting there and you're saying, I don't want to go up there, then I pray the peace of God would be in your heart and the encouragement of the Lord that just get it confessed, get it dealt with, accept his forgiveness, accept his cleansing blood in your life. Accept Jesus Christ, your Savior, Lord, and walk out of here with your head held up and your heart full of the Holy Spirit. Do that. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for feeding us your word. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for never giving up on us. And thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That we can leave it all behind. Forget it. And press on to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here. Appreciate you very much.